Hey, In the Thick listeners. Today's episode includes some discussion about sexual assault. If you need to skip today's episode, we understand. Take care of yourselves.
Hey, what's up? It's Friday. Yes! And welcome to In the Thick. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela, and this is ITT Sound Off.
Oh, we forgot to tell you in case you didn't know. In the Thick is a podcast about politics, race, and culture from a POC perspective, just in case. And we're going to get to our first topic right now. Which is, I think I said this last week, elections have consequences, everybody. Voting has consequences. So what we have all been witnessing is this whirlwind of congressional immigration hearings across the board. And this happened on Wednesday. In fact, there were four simultaneous hearings, to be exact. It was a little bit weird, I got to tell you, Julio, because as you and I know, this did not start under the Trump administration.
Right, right.
A lot of these abuses were, you know, put into place with laws that Bill Clinton signed, then kind of ramped up under George W., took off under Obama, and have, you know, gone into steroids here. But there has been a marked increase in allegations of abuse, and certainly the zero tolerance, i.e. ripping kids away from their family members. There was one hearing that contrasted with the rest, and that was the hearing on Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, also Temporary Protected Status, TPS, and Deferred Enforced Departure, which is DED. And there you actually had real immigrants.
Wow.
Sharing their, I know, really.
Wait, immigrants sharing their stories?
Wow. You know, okay. They are not aliens. They are not animals. They are not illegal people. They actually are human beings. Here is New Mexico dreamer Yasmin Irasoki Ruiz talking about DACA.
It was during this time that my twin sister and I learned of our immigration status. In the blink of an eye, our biggest concern went from student government and obtaining good grades to living with the burden of wondering whether our mother would survive and whether ICE agents or Arizona Sheriff Joe Arpaio would tear our family apart. During this time, my mother and I approached an attorney for legal advice, and I will never forget his words. In this country, you are no one. In this country, you do not exist. You will never be able to attend college. I remember my throat tightening as I choked back tears while trying to process his words. My young mind could not wrap itself around them. I had done everything right.
You don't see voices like Yasmin's in Congress every day. You see a lot of border enforcement talk. But, I mean, her testimony is the reality. And she spoke from the heart. And the humanization of the quote-unquote criminals, to me, is a story that needs more attention. And I just thought she did an amazing job. The testimony was so powerful. Because you don't hear it as much, you know what I mean? On Capitol Hill, as much as you should be seeing it. What do you think?
No, I would say they're pretty much all disappeared. I mean, if it was up to this administration, they would all be deported or detained, frankly. So to see them there owning their voice, owning their narrative, owning their power, it says something.
Right. And at the same time that that was happening, we had the Senate Judiciary Committee. They were analyzing how Customs and Border Protection, CPB, was responding to the smuggling at the border. And while that hearing was happening, the House Appropriations Committee was questioning the Inspector General of Homeland Security about all the reports about immigrant detention and allegations of sexual abuse and all the things that have been happening with the zero tolerance policy. But we have to talk about the one that I thought was the most contentious, the most bizarre. It was the House Homeland Security Committee on Border Security actually had the Secretary of Department of Homeland Security, Kirstjen Nielsen, on, and she just was like completely grilled, Maria. Every Democratic like House person was like, come on, you ready? And talking about elections having consequences.
Because she, you know, she is prepared to say the buck stops with her on all of this. And so absolutely she has to respond. And her level of ignorance, which of course you're like, wow, really? is this ignorance or is this actually an absolute the feigning of ignorance and you knew exactly what you were doing?
There's just one example that really hit me. There were so many things that happened, but there was one with Representative Lauren Underwood of Illinois when she questioned Nielsen about the PTSD and the toxic stress, the impact that it happens on family separations.
Were you aware that the traumatic effects don't go away even if a child is reunited with their family?
I understand that they are. No.
Okay. Were you aware that family separation can lead to behavioral changes and learning delays for children?
Just to be clear, family separation includes the 60,000 UACs who were separated by their parents before they ever got to the border.
I understand. My question is about the traumatic effects.
So let me just say this, and maybe it will help you with your questions. Families need to be put together. Children should never be put in this situation. We need
to fix
the system so that they're not.
Thank you. Were you aware that family separation can lead to behavioral changes and learning delays for children?
Again, kids should be with their families.
So I will take that as a no. Were you aware that it increases a child's risk?
Wow. No. Es que what a way to deflect. What a way to just blame,
right?
Blame parents. You know, yes, there are parents who are saying to their children, run, my child. Run as fast as you can and save your life. The trauma of that decision, what she is calling UACs, right? Unaccompanied minors.
Right.
So this notion of what the people that she calls UACs, which I hate that term, they are unaccompanied children, right?
Right.
The trauma is different when it is your own mother and father who are saying, I'm doing this because I have to help you save your life. This is scary. This is traumatic. I'm giving you 100 pesos. Go run like the wind. Write to me. Call me as soon as you get there. That is very different than you're making that trip with your parents. You cross into the country that you believe is going to be giving you refuge, that you have made up this illusion in your mind that once you step into the promised land, you know, it's going to be great. And then actually, haha, just kidding, because you're brown and because you're seeking refugee status
right.
and because you're an immigrant without papers, we are going to rip you apart from your mother's arms or your father's arms or your uncle's arms. We are going to tear you apart.
Yeah.
You are going to be holding on to them for dear life and we are physically going to separate you. So I am sorry, Kirstjen Nielsen. She should be ashamed of herself.
I know.
Of not knowing. How long did it take us as journalists to do just a little bit of research to find out what are the effects of this? She could have just taken 1 second to do a goddamn Google search and find out that this is going to have traumatic impact for a lifetime on these kids. And we know, Julio, and then I'm going to be quiet because I just went on a rant.
Go.
Is that we know what this is about, right?
Yeah.
This is those children, those babies, those teenagers, pre-adolescents, they are different than me and my kids and the kids in my neighborhood and the babies that I birthed. They are different. They are less than.
Right.
You know, they can deal with more because they're not human.
Right.
And that leads us to you put them in cages that she doesn't want to call cages.
Right. And that was just one example with Underwood, who, by the way, was one of the new women elected during the midterm. So, you know, Representative Underwood bringing it. I'm pretty sure she probably heard our In the Thick podcast with Dr. Gina Poe about the impacts. So I'm just going to go with that speculation. But Maria, you're absolutely right. I would actually begin to respect this administration for just saying that we're doing this because we don't want the browning of America, because there's no other way to spin this.
Right.
At all.
Right.
Like, there's no other way to spin it. I would actually be like, okay, White House, if you're going to now practice white supremacy and say, yeah, we're doing this because we don't want America to be browner. But listen, in the context of this, and you're talking about how immigrants are being basically abused, you guys did some important reporting for Latino USA that just dropped Friday morning.
Right.
Can you just tell me what you guys did?
Well, we've been reporting for a year, almost a year now, on one particular case, an allegation of sexual abuse at a detention facility known as the T. Don Hutto Detention Facility. This is a place that has had multiple allegations throughout the years of women being sexually abused by guards. Those are maybe female guards, maybe male guards. And so we look into one case, which is a complicated case, right? None of this is easy. It's not black and white.
Yeah.
But then what we did is we began to ask the question, how is it that a place like Tidon Hutto is able to stay open and funded by the government? It's run by a private company.
Right.
No surprise there. It's called CoreCivic, which is one of the largest private prison companies in the country. Basically, what we do is we peel back the onion and we're finding out how are these places getting greenlit to be continually funded by the government? Who, in fact, is doing the auditing? And then we go down a black hole and it's very scary. It's a very dramatic piece. And I really want to thank Maggie Freeling, my producer here at Latino USA, and Tina Vasquez, who is the senior correspondent at Rewire.news, who is a kick-ass journalist.
Yeah, she's amazing. We're going to have them both on later this month.
So definitely take a listen to Latino USA. It's really, really strong reporting. But all of this is to say what you, dear listener, know and what is so essential to keep in mind, that all of this is part of a politic that comes from dehumanizing these people.
Right.
And when I say these people, it's basically all of us. And that's where it gets really scary. So we're going to move on to our next topic, which is like no walk in the park either.
Yeah.
So this is a follow-up to an issue that we covered earlier this year. It was our roundtable on the Surviving R. Kelly documentary. We had Jamila Lemieux and April Rain on the show. Since we aired that roundtable and that documentary has come out, Sony Music has cut ties with him. He's been arrested for 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse. A woman named Heather Williams filed a lawsuit against Kelly for sexual assault. He was released for the 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse, but then he was arrested again this week for unpaid child support. And here is Gail King in a pretty intense interview with R. Kelly for CBS This Morning.
Didn't do this stuff. This is not me. I'm fighting for my life. Y'all killing me with this. I gave y'all 30 years of my career.
Robert.
30 years of my career. Y'all trying to kill me. You're killing me, man. This is not about music. I'm trying to have a relationship with my kids, and I can't do it.
You know, it's just like when somebody is like so desperate like that, like you're kind of revealing your guilt. And for me, I think the other thing, and we've talked about this, it's like we are living in a gaslit nation. I mean, it's not only Donald Trump, it's R. Kelly.
You know, it was a very compelling interview and very strong. And it's important. But can I just be real about this, Maria? I've woken up every morning. It's like, CBS News is like, and we're going to run it again tonight. And,
true.
And it's going to be under your bed. And when you open a book, here's the interview. And you're like, we get it. We get it, guys. You did some important work. Let's just tone it down a little bit, because I think that interview speaks for itself. That's all I'm saying. It's like, I got it. Now don't exploit this. I mean, that's where I think it kind of leads to sort of the dilemma of all this, right, Maria?
You know, it's important to mention that Gail King, they did interview two of the women who are still living with R. Kelly or under his captivity, Asriel Clary and Jocelyn Savage. And Kelly had agreed not to be in the room during the interview, but then he did enter the room. And like while they were being interviewed, he was coughing loudly in order so that they would know that he was there.
Yeah.
You know, nobody likes to see somebody kind of coming apart, not being able to work, losing it all. But then I go back to what we learned from the documentary Surviving R. Kelly. And it's like, dude, there is this thing called karma and it will come back to you. And maybe, you know, that leads us to our next, this other documentary called Leaving Neverland. This week it premiered on HBO. It's a two-part documentary that details the accounts of two men, Wade Robson and James Safechuck, who claimed that Michael Jackson repeatedly sexually abused them as little boys.
He was one of the kindest, most gentle, loving, caring people I knew. He helped me tremendously. He helped me with my career. He helped me with my creativity, with all of those sorts of things. And he also sexually abused me for 7 years.
That was Wade Robeson who was saying what he did. He was speaking out about the allegations.
Correct.
Yeah. Did you hear the episode of Still Processing with Wesley Morris and Jenna Werthmann?
So
because
good.
It was super powerful. Yeah, yeah. And so they actually talk about, you know, this cancel culture that might not be the solution, given like Michael Jackson, his omnipresence. So this is what Jenna had to say.
You know, I'm just coming to terms with like, maybe the only way to heal these things is to actually deal with these things and face them.
Mm-hmm.
One of the outgrowths of this moment that we've taken to calling the Me Too era is this bigger question of what do you do with good art made by bad people?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And with Michael Jackson, we have a real opportunity to acknowledge that it's much more complicated than that. The art isn't going anywhere, right?
No.
So we have to deal with thorny issues and tricky topics like, can we still enjoy art made by bad people? Do we have to do something else with it? Or do we have to start having honest conversations about the ways in which powerful people are allowed to perpetuate harms and do bad things in our culture?
I think we are, as a nation, really struggling. Like, but even, look, you guys, Van Gogh was a very challenging person. Let's see, Picasso, you know, complicated dude. So you're right, we are all very complicated people, but complicated, nasty, belligerent, arrogant is not the same as sexually abusing a 7-year-old child continuously.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
There's still real harm here. We're talking about real lives, sexual abuse. The survivors are talking, the issues of how people have to struggle to come to terms with sort of these sexual abuse allegations against their idols. I mean, that's still, I mean, they're living with this for the rest of their lives.
So look, the thing is that, and as a survivor myself, a lot of this takes deep therapy. It's very hard to talk about. But we do want to share a resource for anyone who might be being triggered. It's the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 800-656-HOPE, 800-656-4673. They are confidential. The hotline is 24/7. So this one is for all of you who are still struggling with this issue, and power to you, and self-care and lots of love. And that's it for our Sound Off on Friday for In the Thick. I'm Maria Hinojosa.
And I'm Julio Ricardo Varela.
Uno, dos, tres!
Been a long week, you guys. But you know, you can do one more thing. Just one more thing. Go to Apple Podcasts to rate and review us. You know, those 5 stars make people click on us and listen to us. And so we want to keep on getting more listens. And also, we want to let you know that you can listen to In the Thick on Pandora, on Spotify. So, you know, get to the mountaintops and shout that to all of your family and friends out there. Also, follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at In the Thick Show. Like us on Facebook. And In the Thick is produced by the fabulous team of Juan Pablo Garnham and Nicole Rothwell. Our audio engineers are Stephanie LeBeau and Julia Caruso. Our fellow is Noor Saudi. The music that you heard is courtesy of Nacional Kept and ZZK Records. We will see you on our next episode. And in the meantime, thank you for listening. Nos vemos.
Ciao.
Ciao, ciao. Hold on, you guys. I'm getting a... Hold on. Just hold on. I'm getting a call and I don't know if it's from prison. Hold on. Hello?
Welcome to Bank of America.
Oh, no. Fuck you. Okay.